Let's talk a little bit about Kyrytil. You know, it's interesting because the lung people are kind of now thinking about combining Bev and cetuximab. Mm-hmm. I think there's actually a protocol out there, and yet we've seen a lot of interesting data, maybe not so encouraging in
right.
colon cancer. And I guess the most recent one was the Kyrytil paper.
Sure. So let me talk about that as the instigator of this problem, because if you think about it, most of this derives from the Bond 2 study that I had the privilege to lead. And that was a study that I wrote in 2003 when both cetuximab and bevacizumab were investigational agents. And there seemed to be some very good rationale for combining the two clinically. And the way that we accomplished the study was to work through the National Cancer Institute and have them hold the IND for the combination. And it's important to recognize there was such a fear factor in terms of combining antibodies, let alone these two antibodies, that the way that study was written, because here again, this is a study where first patient in was December 2003, and it was the first time that someone had given two therapeutic monoclonal antibodies to a cancer patient. And the structure was 8 patients will be treated with a single dose, and then we will freeze admission to the study until we've had each patient evaluated for 3 weeks so that we can make sure that nothing bad from a safety point of view has happened. There was that level of concern. So we basically enrolled 4 patients on Monday and 4 patients on Tuesday and then closed and watched them carefully for 3 weeks and then had a teleconference to review each one of them and assure ourselves and assure the investigators at the NCI that this was a reasonable thing to go forward. So then we did, and we ended up accruing a study that had, I believe, a total of 83 patients treated, roughly half of them with cetuximab bevacizumab and half of them with cetuximab bevacizumab and irinotecan. And what we saw was A, no clear safety signal relative to historical controls, no unexpected toxicities that we wouldn't have expected from the agents as we know them, and B, an intriguing degree of activity that looked better than historical controls with all the caveats of a small study compared to historical controls and all the reasons why that's hypothesis generating, not practice changing. And that's the way that it was presented, and that's the way that investigators took up the mantle. And that's the way that the PACE investigators and the Kyrytil investigators took it up, and they said, okay, you need large-scale randomized frontline studies to test out your hypothesis, and we are going to do it. And so they did. And to their credit, they didn't just say, let's do this. They said, let's test this. And unfortunately, in both cases, they got an answer that we didn't foresee, they didn't foresee, and nobody wanted to see. And remember that we got our first indication of this with the PACE trial, the panitumumab trial that Randy Hecht led. The answer there was that in a group of FOLFOX, BEV, plus minus panitumumab frontline, the group that got panitumumab had inferior progression-free survival in a pre-planned analysis, which led to an unpre-planned analysis of survival, which was also inferior, and it showed no response benefit. So that was a negative trial. And now this study is kind of a confirmation that the PACE trial wasn't a fluke and that there's more similarities between cetuximab and panitumumab than there are differences, and a similar result, that the group that got cetuximab clearly did not benefit when added to chemo plus BEV, and that there was an indication of inferior outcome in some aspects. And there was also indication from both the Kyrytil study and a smaller randomized phase 2 called OPUS, that the groups that got cetuximab in the frontline setting and were KRAS mutated may have actually gotten some detriment from exposure to cetuximab. Now, we don't have an understanding of why that should be, but the data certainly throw up a big cautionary flag.
What are the possible explanations, and which one do you think maybe is most likely to explain, you know, a negative impact?
I'm not sure that I've heard an explanation that I find satisfying.
I guess it wasn't just the issue of increased toxicity and less dose, drug delivery.
I don't think so. I don't think that's a satisfactory explanation. In the PACE study, there was some indications of increased toxicity, but it really didn't appear to be lethal toxicity. And there was really not confirmatory evidence of that in the Cairo study. So I think that there's something more fundamental and important going on here than just some toxicity issues, and I don't think we understand it.